Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter number 20 this evening, the book of Acts chapter number 20. We'll be here, then we'll also be in Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy. As soon as I get done reading this, we'll go through this and go to Deuteronomy as well. But we're going to spend the majority of the time in the book of Acts. I'm going to have to say this real quick. I am very thankful for everybody who has called, sent text, emails. Those are very encouraging. I want to say those things before I forget. I also want to say I'm very thankful for the ones who have said, hey, we want to feed your family throughout this time, and I don't think there's been a meal cooked since we have been around together. And so I want to thank you all for volunteering your time, sacrificing some money on your part of that to feed a very large family. And I thank you very much for that. Yesterday we had someone drop off some pizza. I've never had this pizza before. What was it called? Orsi's. They dropped that off, and I've never seen boxes so big in my life. This first time I ate that pizza, and that was very delicious. We had some soup last night, some lasagna today, and I can't remember everything else that we've eaten, but you have fed us well. And I'm thankful for that. So thank you so much for doing those things. I've been anxiously looking forward to this day. And you might say, well, that's kind of weird. No, I take great comfort being here. I really do. I've been waiting to see your faces. I've been waiting to hug your necks. And I've been waiting to preach God's word. And what a great day it has been, despite what we've all been through. Amen. And so I have some instructions tonight that we're going to go through. And I'm going to give you seven things that we as a church need to look forward to. Let's begin reading in Acts chapter 20. We're going to read verses 20 down through verse number 28. And then we will skip a few verses and we'll pick it up in verse number 37 and 38. So Acts chapter 20, we'll begin in verse number 20. It says this, hope my pages are flying all over the place here. It says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and a ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jump down through verse number 37, verse number 38. It says, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompany him unto the ship. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are grateful that we are able to be here this evening. God, my voice is going from me. I pray that you'd restore it for the time being. Lord, whatever you do with it afterwards, that is your business. And so, God, I pray that you just give me the voice to deliver the message that you have laid upon my heart today. God, again, I pray that you would bless us for being here today. I thank you for our audience out in YouTube world. I thank you for that technology that you're able to give us so that we can further the gospel even further. So, Lord, I pray that you just watch over us, and we ask for these things in your name. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to give you seven things that I believe that are appropriate for our church at this point in time that we are in. The first one that I want to give you is number one, and that is, remember it's appropriate to mourn. It is appropriate to mourn. And I'm not going to dwell on a lot of things. I'm not going to be long, to be honest with you. I only have 3.5, maybe 4 pages of notes. I'm used to double that. But that's not what I'm here for tonight. I'm not here to draw out a long message and keep you to 7 o'clock, 7:10. That's not my intent tonight. What I have is very precise and very clear. So remember, it's appropriate to mourn. We kind of read about it. We kind of talked about it a little bit this morning, how David mourned over the loss of Saul, how David mourned over the loss of Jonathan as well. Here we see Paul tells the Ephesian church here, the elders, that he would no longer see their faces again. Think about that. We get sad when we have to come to a time and say goodbye to the ones that we love being around. Usually, you know, when families grow up, they go their separate ways and they live in different states, and some of us stay back here and we get together for family reunions, Thanksgiving, Christmas, things of that nature. And every time that one of those people begin to go back home, we realize that that could be the very last time that we see those individuals. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds for most of us. We're only guaranteed today when we wake up. And we're not even guaranteed the whole day. We're just guaranteed that time that we have right then and there. And so as we face those things and we have to come and say goodbye, there's always a time of sadness. There's always a time when tears begin to flow down the face. And there's also a time of mourning as well. And so here's what took place after the elders heard of this, when Paul told them this. After hearing the news, you look down at verse number 37 and 38, there was weeping that was involved. It's okay when somebody is gone from your life. It is okay to have that time of mourning. It is okay to have that time of weeping. It is okay to have some tears shed. It is okay for those things. Because here's what it says. It says, and they all wept sore. And here's what they did. Not only did they weep, but they went a little more than what most of us do. They fell on the neck of Paul, and they did what? They began to kiss him. That's how much they loved him. That's how much they adored him. That's how much that they were sorrowful of him never to come back so that they can see his face again. And so they wept sore. They fell on his neck and they kissed him. And then it goes on in verse number 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So they mourned that they weren't going to see him no more. They fell on his neck and they began to kiss him, show their love and appreciation. And it didn't stop there. Because now you have the send-off. I remember back in the days when we were growing up, especially Andrea, when she went off to college, there was a few times, I believe, that you flew to college. And I remember when we were able to go into the airport. You guys remember these days? And you're able to actually go down to where the terminal was at. You know, think about that. Why do we get on an airplane and walk through a terminal? That's the last thing I want to hear in my mind when I'm going to get on an airplane. But I can remember those days. Folks, are you awake tonight? It's been a long afternoon. Okay. And I remember as we walked down and were able to see her off, there would be some times of tears, some times of the sorrow that would take place. But I also remember not just saying a goodbye, but I also remember on some occasions the hellos. The hellos are very great. The hellos are just sometimes are breathtaking. But at this point in time, they didn't have that ability. They weren't going to see his face again. So now they take the next step and they say, you know what, Paul, we cried for you, we've kissed your neck, and now can we accompany you to the ship? And so that's what they did to send Paul off. Remember, it's appropriate to mourn. Now, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, but keep your place in the book of Acts as well. So we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34. We're going to see some other times when there was some mourning as well. Deuteronomy chapter number 34, and we will read in verse number 8. It says, and the children of Israel, what's that word? Wept. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for how long? 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. It is okay to mourn. there is a time and a place where it is appropriate to mourn for those who have gone on before us. Like I said this morning, even though we go through great mourning in our life, even Jesus, with great sympathy, tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, that he invites us to carry our sad hearts to him. And what I find amazing about that, as he invites us to carry our sad hearts to him, giving our burden to him and taking his yoke upon us, he doesn't scold us for those things. He doesn't scold us for mourning. As a matter of fact, what do you see in Scripture about when Lazarus died? What did Jesus do? Jesus wept. Jesus also had a time of mourning for his friend that went on before him. And so there are some appropriate times for us to mourn. Now, moving on to number two. Remember that God's providence is mysterious, and he does things that we don't understand. Who's all been there? I have been there on many different occasions. So let me read this again so you can write this down. Remember that God's providence is mysterious, and he does things that we don't understand. And I'm going to give you just a few, because we just spoke about Moses here. So why did God let Moses look into a land that he had labored to obtain for 40 years and then to tell him that he wasn't going in? Isn't that mysterious? Well, I don't understand that, but that's how God works. Here's another one that I want you to consider, because we're reading about Paul in the book of Acts here. Why did God take the greatest missionary, and I believe in my mind, Paul's the greatest missionary ever. We have some great missionaries that we have read about, that we have studied about, but I believe Paul's the greatest one of all time. But why would he take the greatest missionary of all time and allow him to spend a majority of his time in jail? Think about that. Paul would spend not just days in jail. Paul would not just spend months in jail, but at times he would spend years in jail. God is mysterious. God does things that we do not understand. We don't understand. Here's one I'm going to throw out to you. Why would God, a week and a half ago, put our pastor on a ventilator for a day and a half, and then when he's taken off that ventilator, his voice is restored? For months now, we've heard him talk like the Godfather. Or in my terms, I like to say he sounded like Clint Eastwood. But for 2 days, we were able to hear his voice, and it wasn't as crisp as it used to be, but it was better than what it was before. And then during that time, you're able to hear Pastor from his own mouth, "Hey, I'm going to go to rehab." And then all of a sudden, you see the decline in Pastor. And now he's with the Lord. The Lord is mysterious. He works in different ways that we do not begin to understand. So remember that God's providence is mysterious, and he does things that we don't understand. And that's the case here. Number three, remember his word is still central, and his promises are still true. God has not broken a promise to us yet, nor will he break a promise to us. Paul reminded them that, I'm talking about the Ephesians here in the book of Acts, that it was the Word of God that built the church. The Word of God is our source of comfort. How many of you have gone to God's Word this week or even today and begin to read it because you knew that your soul needed comfort? Many of us have been in that place. I was so down Thursday. I'm not going to say depressed, but I was having a not good day because of what took place the night before. And you know what I said? I said, I need to have God's word speak to me so that I can have the comfort that I need to have. And I tell you what, when I opened up God's word and I allowed it to speak to my heart, guess what took place? It gave me comfort. It took a frown and it turned it upside down into a smile. And I thank God that His Word is a source of comfort. The Word of God, blessed by the Spirit of God that uses man to preach the Word of God, results in anything being done in the church. It's not because of man, folks. It's because of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It has nothing to do with man, but God uses man to be a help in these situations. So let me remind you, remember, His Word is still central, and His promises are still true. Number four, as we continue to move on here this evening, remember that God is faithful to provide His church with leaders. Do you realize this is God's church? This isn't our church. Yeah, we've joined this church, but this is God's church. He built this church. And so with that being said, He will provide His church with leaders. The people of Israel were not left without a leader. Go ahead and turn back to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. And we will see this in verse number 28. It says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flocks, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed." So as they are being told that they're no longer able to see the face of Paul, Paul, during that time as he is with them, began to train these elders up in the Lord. And it came time for Paul to depart from their presence, and after his teaching, after him being a mentor to them, they now were in charge of the flock that God has called them to. They were the overseers. Paul was just merely an instrument in that. And God, no matter what church, no matter what situation that you're in, God will always provide a leader. Because this is His church. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, again, chapter number 34. The book of Deuteronomy, again, chapter number 34. Let me get back there real quickly. A lot of you folks probably kept your finger there. I did not. But again, in chapter number 34, it says this, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Do you see what took place here? Moses, again, just like Paul, Moses was training Joshua underneath him. And when it came time for the departure of Moses, when his life ended, guess what took place? There was another man that stepped into place because of God putting a desire in the heart of Moses to train somebody up and take over in his absence. They had Joshua. Even though, let me say this, and please, I'm not trying to be insensitive here. I'm facing reality here. Even though we have lost our founding pastor, he has raised and mentored one to lead the church and point them to Christ. Moving on. Remember, number five, to whom we belong. Remember to whom we belong. Again, Paul had reminded the elders that the church is the property of God. We might sit there and think, well, this is our property. We built this. We put money into this. Let me remind you, God gave us every financial thing that we needed to have to put everything into place here. Even though people have gave money, but God gave you the money to give. This is God's property. And let me go a step further. This is not Springer property. Springer property is over there a few hundred feet. This here is the property of God. And we need to treat it as the property of God. Remember who we belong to. Belong to. The church has been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Even though we don't have our founding pastor, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4. As soon as you get there, I will finish this statement. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4, it says this, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Even though we have lost our founding shepherd, we still have a chief shepherd, that's Jesus Christ the Lord. And folks, that's who we need to seek. Remember to whom we belong to. If you're still awake, please say amen. Amen. Number six. See, I'm going through this rather quickly. We only got two more to go. Remember that God still has work for us to do. Just because some things have happened that we did not want to happen, but we knew was going to happen, God still has work for Open Door Baptist Church to do. It's not just one member, it's not just 10 members, it's every single member that has decided to take membership in this church. God has work for us to do. In Deuteronomy chapter number 34, Israel still had to take the possession of land. And in the book of Acts, the elders are still shepherding the flock. There is still work that needs to be done. And why did they have to shepherd the flock? Because they needed to continue the work of the flock so that the flock can continue to be healthy. And there are some other reasons that the flock, that the elders were still tending to the flock. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. We've been in Ephesians for so long, you should just automatically know where it's at. My Bible almost automatically turns there. But what is the other work that God still wants us to do? Let's read in verse number 11. We'll read down through verse number 12. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So in other words, there are still more jobs to be done here because the saints still need to be equipped. And what do they need to be equipped for? They need to be equipped for the ministry of the gospel. And by the way, the best way that we can honor our pastor is living out the instructions that he has given us for 49 years and the example that he has set forth for us. Well, what example is that? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." He has given us instructions, and he has set the example so high. And now it's our job, as we continue to go forth into this world, because life goes on, and as hard it is and as tough it is for me to even say that those words, but life does go on. We still have work to do. Our job has not to be finished yet. Pastor's job came to an end Wednesday night, and I believe what took place as he raised his hand towards the heavens, I believe Jesus came right then and there and says, "Well done. Well done, Gene Springer. Come on in. Let me show you what you've been looking forward to. Let me show you the streets of gold." Oh, by the way, hey, Pastor Springer, before we stroll down the streets of gold, I got someone very special I want to show you. And I can just see the anticipation building up. And as he walks over and he says, "Say hello to your son." We had a conversation Tuesday night in the hospital. I believe it was Jeff, Christy, or my mom. One of the three said this: "When you get up into heaven, would you please give Wayne a hug for us?" And Dad, in his dry sense of humor, even to the very end, he says, "How do soul hug? We don't have hands." He's always thinking of things, always. But I can just imagine, even though his job is done, our job still goes on. And folks, we have a community that needs Jesus Christ. Not only our community, and I know we got visitors from First Baptist and Plattsmouth, they got a job to do in Plattsmouth. We have a job to do. Last but not least, number 7, and we'll close here. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua, chapter number 1. You ready for number 7? Remember to be strong and courageous. Even though it might seem difficult, but remember to be strong and courageous. Let's read verse number 6. We'll read down through verse number 9. It says this: Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse number 7 reiterates verse number 6. Only be thou strong and very courageous. The wording's changed just a little bit, but now there's like an urgency to this courageous. Now, I don't want you just to be a little courageous. I want you to be very courageous. For what? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commandeth thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If we are to continue to go on and to do the work that we have been instructed to do the work that we have been taught for 49 years, there's a few things that we must do. We must be strong. And how are we going to be strong? It's not in our own strength. But our strength comes from where? Comes from God. What does verse number 8 say? It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. And that's how we get our strength. And then as we begin to get our strength, there's something else that we must have. And that is courage. A lot of us grew up watching The Wizard of Oz. And we watch the cowardly lion become so scared of a little dog that would pass before him. And one of the things that he was searching through most of this trip as they got towards the end, and then one of the things that he wanted the most, because as you look at a lion, you look at a lion as if they're a very courageous creature. Matter of fact, I would not want to come up against a lion because of their fierceness, their power that they have. I have seen some people recently on some videos. I like watching videos. And I've seen some videos of guys being around little cubs. And years later, they're still around these cubs that have now turned into lions. And they go right into their cages. And the lions just jump on them. Not jumping on them because they want to devour them, but they're jumping on them because they love that individual. I'm thinking to myself, man, that takes some courage. Even though they have been tamed somewhat, they're still wild animals. But as I look at that, that takes courage. And this lion that I'm talking about here was searching and searching for courage. And they felt as if they got to, what is that guy that was called? The wizard? They felt if they can get to the wizard can grant him courage. And at the end of the episode, all they give him was a badge. Now you have courage. Where do we get our courage from? The same place we get our strength. And I know that it's not easy going out into the world and trying to invite people and to speak to them about Jesus Christ. I know it's scary. I've heard of a few guys a week ago that were in camp that had the privilege to lead people to the Lord. And what was the words that I heard that came back home was this: I was scared. Even though they were scared, guess who gave them courage to speak to these young people to accept Jesus Christ? God Almighty. See, why am I saying this? Because as it's been said for many years, we do not go alone because we're His children and God is always with us. So as we go forth and we continue to do what we have been instructed for many years, it's going to take strength and it's going to take courage. And we do this not for Pastor Springer, but we do this for our Heavenly Father. We don't do it for man. Man just taught us. But we do it for our Heavenly Father. And then we do this for what? To preserve the unity of the Spirit. I'm so thankful tonight that I belong to a church that I believe that we are experiencing now more than we have in recent months and recent years. A unity that we've never experienced before. And it only comes because of the same desires that we all have, and that's to glorify Jesus Christ. Folks, if we practice these seven things, can I tell you something? Can I be an encouragement to you? We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Why? Why will we be okay? Because, as I said earlier, this is God's property. This is God's church. We're God's vessels being used by Him for His glory. And all we have to do, we don't have to be out there and we don't have to lead. All we have to do is follow Christ. That's all we got to do. So I hope that these 7 points can be an encouragement to you. And if I went too fast for some of you folks and you didn't get a chance to write all these down, please let me know. I will allow you to see my notes. I'm not worried about my penmanship no more because I type everything up. I got a laugh out of some of you folks. The rest of you are still sleeping. But anyway, but through it all, let me say this. Pastor preached a message 3 weeks ago. And you know what that message was? God's been good. God's been good. I was scared to death to lose my father. I've fretted it for years. My father went to heaven with darker hair than what I have now. That's how much I fretted it. But I was nervous and scared for my nephews and nieces, his grandchildren, to see him pass. But they got to experience something glorious that day. And why? Because God's been good. Mom, you're going to go through some difficult times. But what you go through, you're going to experience the goodness of God. You're going to experience His awesome love towards you every single day. Why? Not because you have great kids, which you do. It's because you serve a God who is good. You serve a God who is good. God's been good. Allison and her husband sang that song a few weeks ago. First time I ever heard it was by Chris Chavez. But through it all, God's been good. And that's what we need to remember. No matter what we go through in our life. Charlie and Julie, can I say this real quick? Charlie's looking at me. What are you going to say? They came home a few weeks ago and their air conditioner was out. But through it, God was good. God was good. You folks have experienced some other things that we probably haven't even heard about. Dallas, you had a pain in your side Wednesday night. I remember you talking about it. And please forgive me. I meant to pray for you, but I didn't. But I haven't heard you talk about your pain today. Is it gone? Why is it gone? Because God's been good. Mrs. Lidgett, you had a horrible accident with your knee. You had an infection. probably could have sidelined you for the rest of your life. And you came back to school. You sat down here by the bathrooms for this, because God's been good. See, we can sit there and focus on all the negative things in life. And believe me, we do a lot of that. You ask my wife, she can tell you how negative I am at times. And she reminds me, Chad, can you just focus on the goodness of God? And that's what I want to do to you tonight. Q, you had a heart attack a few years ago. Your wife was very sick with COVID and still gets sick quite often, I believe, because of the effects of COVID. But through it all, God's been good. God's been good. Vicky, you lost your sister because of COVID. But I've heard you talk on many different occasions how grateful you are that she's in heaven. God's been good. God's been good. And that's what we've got to remind ourselves. God's been good. Amen. Ann is here tonight. Ann's been a good friend of ours for many years. She knew me since I was, I'm not going to say how young I was, because that'll age you knee high. But you know why she's here tonight? To support us. And I say this, God's been good. Kevin, you experienced a heartache. God's been good. And that's what we need to focus on. God's been good in my life. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Please don't forget, we got to stack these chairs up. Lord, we are grateful that we can just reflect on the goodness that you bestow upon our lives. Lord, help us to remember that this is your church. You're going to move us. You're going to keep us going forward. Lord, as we go through some dark times in our life, Lord, the only reason why they might be dark is because we're not seeing the goodness of you. And so help us to always see your goodness. It's a joy to be able to be here today. I have taken great comfort in this. I have taken great joy to speak to your people. And I've only been able to do that, God, because you've been good in my life. We thank you for what you've done. In your name, amen.